purification. Ever since the fall, humanity has been trying to find the freedom that had been lost through original sin. All of us are searching for consolation of one kind or another. In fact, human beings have an inbuilt instinct to pursue pleasure and avoid pain. The problem is, of course, that a lot of pleasure that we run after in this life can ultimately end up causing us pain. All of us are broken in one way or another. Some of us have had terrible trauma in our lives, especially growing up, and some of us have been subject to neglect of one kind or another. When these things happen in childhood, they can leave scars that seem to persist through the rest of our lives. Sometimes those wounds cause us to react in ways that are unhelpful and destructive, and sometimes we can respond in ways that are sinful and build up patterns of behaviour that damage us even further. God is understanding and knows we are weak and scarred. So when we enter into a relationship with Him, He needs to cleanse us and heal us. St. Francis de Sales advises us, "The soul which aims at the dignity of becoming the spouse of Christ must put off the old man and put on the new man, forsaking sin. Moreover, it must pare and shave away every impediment which can hinder the love of God." However, this purification process can only come about with our cooperation, by what might be called active purification. When we seek to purify ourselves, we are complying with St. Paul's exhortation in Ephesians chapter 4. "You should put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created in God's way, in righteousness and holiness of truth." We start by eradicating mortal sin from our lives. Mortal sins are serious sins that stop us from moving forward in the spiritual life and stifle the action of the Holy Spirit. In a sense, mortal sin shuts and bolts the door on God and cuts us off from eternal life. The first step is to repent of any mortal sins we have committed by going to the sacrament of reconciliation. However, some mortal sins can be persistent. If we have repeated patterns of serious sin in our lives, then we would need to take steps to adjust our behaviour and distance ourselves from people and situations that lead us into sin. This is all part of the conversion process and must occur if we are to make any progress on the journey towards God. The next stage of the purification process is to remove from our lives as much as possible any venial sins that we are guilty of. These sins are not like mortal sins in that they don't cut us off from God, but they do offend Him and hurt other people. The one motivating factor in removing sin from our lives, however, is not so much terror at upsetting an avenging deity, but love. When I give my life to God and discover that His love for me is unconditional, that Jesus came to die for me personally, and that He offers a gratuitous gift of everlasting life, my response should be to love God in return. That love is mostly conveyed to Him through our prayer, when we can spend time with Him receiving and giving love. And so, because our motivation is rooted in love of God, we try to remove from our lives everything that mars that loving relationship or might offend Him. God loves us so much that He wants us to experience deep and lasting fulfillment only in Him. But He knows that we are broken and that our brokenness makes us incapable of fully entering into the fullness of life and the joy and peace that He created for us. So He wants to purify us and wants us to make efforts to purify ourselves. The third stage of purification is removing from ourselves any attachments that we have which, even if they are not sinful, still distract us from fully giving ourselves to God. There may be things in our lives, attraction to worldly pursuits, selfish preferences, minor indulgences that we waste our time on, that still cling to us. Even these must come under the sovereign power of God and be submitted to Him. It's not that we are to have no enjoyment in worldly things at all. It's just that we shouldn't place these before our relationship with God or endanger that relationship through those distractions. These are all ways in which we can actively purify ourselves. But they don't in themselves make us holy. Only God can do that. What our efforts achieve instead is an openness to God's hand in our lives. In a sense, when we try to take steps to purify ourselves, we are really preparing the ground for God to work the miracle of sanctity in us. And that miracle often comes about through the healing action of the Holy Spirit. Part of the purification process involves offering ourselves to God for healing. All the slights, the injuries, the trauma, and the neglect that we have experienced in our lives can be offered to Him. In a sense, God wants to remake us. He wants to destroy what is corrupt and sinful in us. That sounds rather daunting and perhaps frightening, until we realize that the parts of us that God wants to do away with are not our real selves at all. The elements of our lives that He wants to put to death, as it were, are the very things that are holding us back from stepping into the fullness of life. So sometimes God allows us to experience passive purification, where He is the one who is the mover. Rather than our active participation in the process, we become the passive recipients of that purifying grace. Often that purification is brought to us through the trials and tribulations of life. However, even then we are not entirely passive. We can choose to angrily reject the trials and difficulties that life offers us, as though they were not allowed by God. Or we can choose to take advantage of the grace God offers us by bearing them patiently and with fortitude. We can choose to feel betrayed by God when misfortune befalls us, or we can cast ourselves on God's mercy and allow our love for God to grow even in the midst of suffering, as many Christian witnesses have done in the past. None of us are here in this life forever. Our homeland is in heaven, and one way or another, this life here below is a veil of tears. In a sense, this life is a preparation for heaven, not heaven itself. Ultimately, we can choose to be purified here and now as we go through this life. Or if not, we may spend more tedious and painful time in purgatory than we really want to. We are made for heaven, but can never enter there unless we are perfect. Really, unless we are saints. The purification that God wants to bring about in us is aimed at making us ready to live that blessed life with God and the saints and angels that He has always meant for us to have. In the end, God loves us so much that He will not abandon us. In fact, He loves us so much that Jesus gave His life to make sure that we have a chance of fulfilling our destiny and getting to heaven. Let's soberly begin again the purification process, so that when we come to the end of our lives, we will not be shut out of heaven, but instead be welcomed into the celestial courts by our Lord with those thrilling words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Let's ask the Lord for the grace to undergo the purification He wants to work in us. Heavenly Father, we know that we are weak, broken, and sinful. Purify us and help us to put off the ways of the old man and enter into that new life that you have called us into through our baptism. Help us to bear our troubles with patience and fortitude, knowing that you are cleansing us of all our impurities, and give us the grace to remove from our lives anything that gets in the way of our relationship with you. Amen.